Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Greg Maturi, currently the pastor of St. Dominic's Parish in Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
It's great to see you again. We're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, about what we believe as Catholics, and we're going to continue our discussion on liturgy. So question 170 of the UCAT asks, what is the origin of liturgy?
Yeah, that's, you know, the origin of liturgy. Well, of course, we define the liturgy as the public, official, divine worship of the Church, and that is that it includes the Mass, but it's more than just the Mass. It includes all the sacrament, all the seven sacraments, and it includes other things like the liturgy, the hours, which is something that a priest and religious pray several times a day, and even lay people like to join in. It's a great form of prayer. So there are many things involved in it, but the essence of liturgy is the public, official, divine worship of the Church. And so the origins, of course, are from the liturgy originates, the Christian liturgy originates from the Jewish liturgy. I mean, for example, the Mass is the new Passover meal. It's the Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with his apostles. The Liturgy of the Hours has a lot of the Old Testament in it, the Psalms. So in one sense, the liturgy, the source of the liturgy is the Old Testament, is the Jewish faith, with the caveat that now the Messiah has come, and how the presence of the Messiah now shapes the Jewish liturgy, and that's the Christian liturgy. Of course, spiritually, the root of the liturgy is the offering of the Son, Jesus Christ, his body and blood to his Father in heaven. And so that's the essence of the liturgy, is that Jesus, the high priestly prayer of Jesus, his death and resurrection, and in which we participate.
So isn't it true, Father, that when we attend Mass and participate in Mass, that especially at the consecration, we can unite ourselves with Jesus Christ as a sacrifice to the Heavenly Father?
Exactly. The Mass is a good example of our participation in this great act of love between the Father and the Son, which is the Holy Spirit. And so at Mass, we participate in that very eternal action now in time of the Son offering his to the Father his entire being, the love between the Father and Son now spirating the Holy Spirit, and we receive an anointing of the Holy Spirit in a special way as we participate in the liturgy, in the Mass. And you know, when we do the Liturgy of the Hours, for example, as we talked about having Psalms, you know, the Psalms all point to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. So when we recite the Psalms, they're leading us to Jesus, to think about Jesus, the Messiah. And at the same time, they're allowing us to express in ourselves what Jesus experienced, because he prayed the Psalms as a good Jew, he himself. And that's the Christian life. That's the whole point of the liturgy, so that we can come to experience exactly what Jesus experienced, the eternal Son of God experienced in his human life.
That's a good point. I guess I never really thought about the fact that because Jesus was Jewish, that of course he prayed the Psalms.
You know, one of the interesting things that, for example, at Mass, just before we distribute communion, the priest holds up the consecrated and host and says, "This is the Lamb of, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Well, that, of course, represents the blood of the Lamb at the Passover, at the Exodus, when Moses led the Jewish people out of slavery in Egypt. They were to slaughter a lamb and then put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. So when it's a reminder then, of course, of the Jewish roots of our faith, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who leads us from slavery of sin into the new life of grace. And so Jesus is the Lamb, and he's also like the new Moses leading us out.
To take it one step further, Father, a lot of people don't realize that at the Passover meal, they had to eat the flesh of the lamb.
Mm.
And this is where a lot of people have this trouble with cannibalism, as far as us as Catholics believing that the bread and the wine truly become the body and blood of Christ at the consecration, that it's actually a fulfillment of the Jews, what they did with the Passover lamb. And now Jesus, the Messiah, is the Paschal lamb. And again, he continues that, Melchizedek offering up a sacrifice of bread and wine, and also fulfilling the sacrificial lamb for the Jews as they were released from slavery in Egypt.
And you think, of course, of Abraham willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, but instead a ram was, his horns was caught in the fence. He sacrificed the ram instead of his son Isaac. So the Old Testament is all pointing to the ultimate sacrifice. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament are but signs of the ultimate sacrifice, namely the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, whose blood was shed for our salvation, to free us from sin and to raise us up to new life through his death and resurrection. And that's why it's so important to remember that the Eucharist is first and foremost a sacrifice. In other words, it's not simply a meal that we celebrate as a community. It is a sacrifice, namely the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, in which we participate. So who is celebrating the Mass? Jesus is celebrating the Mass in the person of the priest, the priest stands in persona Christi, Latin words that mean in the person of Christ. And so we participate in Jesus, who is the celebrant of the Mass.
And again, as the priest, you're his minister standing in his place. And the way I like to explain it is Christ is reigning from heaven at the right hand of the Father. And so he didn't write a book. He established his church and built his church so that you and I, 2,000 years later, can still benefit from Christ's once and for all sacrifice by participating in the sacraments, in particular confession and the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Exactly. And when you and I were baptized, we were anointed with holy oil as a share in the anointing of Jesus Christ as priest, prophet, and king. And the priestly element that every baptized person shares in is the fact that they participate in the sacrifice of Jesus that takes place at every liturgy.
So when question 179 says, who celebrates the liturgy? You just said it, Jesus Christ. But yet you're there in persona Christi, so that when you say the words of consecration, you don't say Jesus said these words. You say those words as if you're Jesus.
Exactly. At the consecration, I, as a priest or any priest, says, this is my body. This is my blood. Because in the liturgy at Mass, the priest is in persona Christi. This explains, by the way, why the priest is male. And it also explains why the priest is ordained. In other words, he's given a special power to consecrate, to not only to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, but to actually be Christ at the Eucharist.
So I couldn't say Mass. I'm not ordained.
Exactly. And it may be the case that one day the church ordains married men. Not that priests get married, but that the church ordains married men who are already married. And then, if that were the case someday in the future, then you could do it. consecration. But you would have to receive that special power, that ordination. And that is something that we don't pick up anywhere, that the church has the power to do that, not you and I to decide that. The church has that authority.
Well, I understand being a priest is more than a full-time job as it is. If you had a family to take care of, you'd have two full-time jobs, and you'd never be able to sleep.
Well, yeah, no, that's right. I mean, you know, one of the benefits of the celibate priesthood is availability. But that's not the real reason for it. The real reason for the celibate priesthood is that Jesus was celibate. And he consecrated his life for the sake of the kingdom of God. It's not simply for a matter of availability of the priest, but there's real deep theological significance to the fact that Jesus was celibate. In other words, he gave his entire life, laid it down completely for his body, the church, just as a husband lays down his life completely for his wife.
And again, you as a priest made those promises when you took your vows.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clearly, you know, it's made clear to us that this means the entirety of our person is now dedicated to the church.
And I want to thank you publicly, Father, for saying yes to God's call to the priesthood and making that commitment, because it's a lifetime commitment.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we do need the support of good lay people like yourself. And, you know, I want to take this time also to thank married persons like yourself, because good married people who are faithful to their vows, who are good parents, who are faithful to their family, they are a great support for us priests.
Okay. Thank you, Father. Question 180 asks, why is the Mass sometimes referred to as a worship service?
Yeah, that's an interesting term, the term service. The UCAT explains that sometimes we use the term worship service because the liturgy is first and foremost God's service to us. You will recall that Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be first needs to be last. Whoever wants to be the greatest of all needs to serve the rest. And Jesus confirmed his own mission, that he came as one who serves, not to be served. So the liturgy, the public official divine worship of the church, is first and foremost God's work and service to us. And then as a result of that, it's our work and service to God and to our neighbors.
Well said, Father. You've been listening to Father Greg Maturi as we go through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we've been discussing the liturgy, the divine worship of the church. This has been Tim Perry for Faith with Father on Living Bread Radio. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.